Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now on the final Shiur of Perak Yud Aleph Masechet Ketubot, and Daf Kuf Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud, HaMema'enet HaShniya V'Ha'ilunit. This is the sixth and final Mishnah in Perak Yud Aleph. And it lists those women who will not be receiving a full Ketubah, or perhaps will, but women whose marriage for one reason or another is problematic, and their status vis-a-vis Ketubah. HaMema'enet HaShniya V'Ha'ilunit. Now, these three really come from three very different directions. Mema'enet, as we know, is somebody who had Kiddush Ektana, who was married off not by her father, but by brothers or mother when she was a minor, and then she walked out on her husband at the age of consent. Shnia is someone who is an Isser of Erva Durabanan, as we saw in the second parak of Yevamot, generally a one-generational extension of Arayot. And Ailonit is a woman who proves to be not fully a woman, after marriage. Ein lahen ketubah, and we'll see some details specifically about the ilonit here, but ein lahen ketubah, they do not collect ketubah, velo perot. Now the way perot works is as follows. Rashi suggests two things, the Rambam confirms one of them. Rashi suggests that not having perot would mean that, first of all, in case the husband ate perot, she does not have recourse to collect that money back. And the second one that Rashi points out is that, as we saw in the fourth parak, the Chachamim established an obligation on the husband to redeem his wife if she captured in lieu of Perot. That claim she doesn't have on her husband either. That's what Perot would mean here. Now, Perot in the Velo Mezonot Velo Blaot. Now, as far as Mezonot goes, that's a little troubling because a Mema'enet, how could she not have Mezonot? After all, in the meantime, you're feeding her. So the answer here is that if the husband goes away and she borrows to cover her Mezonot, and then he comes back and she subsequently walks out on him, then she cannot now collect from him to pay back the debt for the mezonot. That's on her. Velo blaot. Blaot works as follows. These are the remains, the tatters of clothing that she was given. She was given an annual stipend of clothing. If the clothing wore out earlier, she can come back. She has recourse to him to have him pay back and recover that clothing. In case she is one of these three women, a man at the Shnei Nailanit, she does not have such recourse. This is Blaot She'enan Kayamin, Blaot Delei Tanhu Beinaihu, as far as Blaot that are around and the clothing that she has, that's something she certainly keeps, and we will see an even more extreme example of where she keeps Blaot. Now, Imitcha, and he said the Shem Alanit, when I talk about the Ailanit herself, Yesh Lak Ketubah, if she was originally married with the husband knowing she's an Ailanit, then she does have her Ketubah. That, of course, is not the case in Ma'anit, because you don't know she's going to Ma'anit until she does, and not the case in Ashniya, which is an Isser. Now, on the other hand, the famous four examples, or four sets of examples, of Isurei Torah, as far as marriage goes, Yesh Lahem Ketubah. Interestingly, in areas where the Isser is a Rabbanan, like a Shnia, she loses the Ketubah, because Chacham also Chizuk Dever Miotem Mishal Torah, but in a case where the Isser is the Oraita, like a Grusha Lekoin, she does have a Ketubah. Now, the Gemara immediately addresses a case that is similar to Manet, and that is a Ketana Shiyotza Beget, meaning a Ketana, where it's Kedusha Ketana, and the husband does not wait for her to do Miyun, he gives her a Get. Tanai Yotza Beget Ein La Ketubah. He says she does not have a Ketubah, just like a Ma'anet doesn't have a Ketubah. V'chol Shekein Me'ma'anet. Alright, so Ma'anet is more obvious than that. Shmuel Tanai Ma'anet Ein La Ketubah, V'chol Yotza Beget Yesh La Ketubah. Shmuel learned the opposite. He said that our Mishnah that says Ma'anet has no Ketubah, it's specifically Me'ma'anet and not Yotza Beget. A Yotza Beget does have a Ketubah. It makes a lot of sense because Yotza Beget, the husband, initiated the divorce. Opposed to Ma'anet, where she initiated the separation, she loses her get. Now, Ava Azda Shmuel Atame, and Shmuel is being consistent for a different reason than the one I just suggested. Temar Shmuel, Ma'anet, Ein Lak Ketubah. Yotza Beget, Yesh Lak Ketubah. A. B. Ma'anet Lo Pasala Psala Min Ha'achin. If a girl is Ma'anet, she could then marry the brother of the guy that she was previously, quote-unquote, married to. V'lo Psala Min Ha'kuna. She's also not considered a divorcee. She could marry a Kohen. Yotza beget, psalam nachim, psalam nakuna. Right? And Ma'enet does not need to wait 3 months between leaving the husband and then marrying the next guy. Right, because even though there's normally not a problem, she's a ktana, and we're not concerned about ibur because she either will not become pregnant, or if she does, she will not make it, as the sugya we've seen several times in Yevamot and once in Ketubot indicates. Nonetheless, the Chacham made a blanket rule of shlosha chodashim, which is why if a woman's husband has been abroad for a year and then sends her a divorce, she still has to wait 3 months, but that does not apply to ma'enet. Now, my kamashman, what is it that Shmuel is teaching with this series of statements? Tanina kulu, we have a braita or mishnah that says all of those. The mishnah in Yevamot, ha-ma'enet be'ish, hu-mutar b'kuvotav, hi-mutar b'kuvav, the girl's ma'enet, then there are no prohibited relations to kin that are formed as a result of their temporary union. She can marry his brothers, he can marry her sister, he can marry her mother, etc. V'lopsala minakuna, she could marry a kohen. Natan la get, but if on the other hand he gave her a get, hu asur bikrovoteha, vuhi osura bikrovav, salamina kuna. In other words, we have a Mishnah that states exactly what Shmuel stated. So what's Shmuel adding? The answer is, the one thing left out of the Mishnah was about Hamtana, that a yotza beget, even though she's a ktana, and even though had the husband waited a little bit, she might have been Mamayan and would not have to wait, still has to wait 3 months. That's what Shmuel added on and tagged it on to the other statements to show that it's all one piece on one approach. Now, the machloket Rav and Shmuel about whether yotza beget, tzricha, yesh lak tubar or not, seems to follow along the lines of the machloket or belozom Rav Shmuel that we saw earlier. Lema katana or belozom ein masek tana klum. This is at the end of Yevamot. Vein balai zakai, bala zakai mtsiata, v'lo maseada, v'lo bafarat ndareha, v'eno yosha, v'eno metamila. Rav Elazar's approach is that whatever a ktana does is meaningless. Her husband does not have any claim on a mitzia, not on her earnings, and he cannot be made for her nedarim. And if she dies, he's not yoresher. And if he's a kohen and she dies, he does not go to her funeral. It's not married at all. Klalo shel davar. What's Rav Elazar's rule? Eina ki ishto l'chol davar. She is not at all his wife. This is a ktana that her mother married her off. Ella shetzicha miyun. The one point at which we say she is a little bit married is that she needs miyun, so that there's some vehicle by which she leaves him. That's Rav Elazar. Rav Yeshua takes the opposite extreme. And of course, this is cutting to the question of either she is or isn't his wife. If she is his wife, why is miyun sufficient? And if she isn't his wife, why is miyun necessary? So Rav Yeshua says she is totally his wife. Masek tana klum. What she does is meaningful. The husband has all the rights and responsibilities as to a normal wife. V'yarshah, he inherits her umetamila. If she dies and he's a kohen, he goes to the funeral. The rule is that a ktana is 100% his wife. Ella, she yotzav miyun. The one point at which she's not considered fully a wife is she can leave a miyun and not a get. In other words, it sounds as if Rav is adopting Rav Elazar's position and saying that a ktana's actions is nothing. She is not at all married to him, and therefore she has no ktubah. And Shmuel says, like Rav Yeshua, that she's absolutely married to him. She has a ktubah and everything else. The one point is that she could walk out b'miyun. So lema Rav damar kor Elazar, Shmuel damar kor Yeshua, which is very difficult because we rule like Rav Yeshua. So why would Rav be saying that? So the answer is, alivid Rav Elazar kuli amalo pligi. The answer is, everybody agrees that Rav Elazar would say that a ktana does nothing and says no ktubah. But of course, we're not debating whether we accept Rav Elazar or Rav Yeshua, because we all accept Rav Yeshua. Ki pligi, what's the machloket? Ali be Rav Yeshua. The machloket is within Rav Yeshua's opinion. Shmuel k'Rav Yeshua. Shmuel plays it straight up like Rav Yeshua. The ktana's actions are meaningful. She's a full wife, and therefore she has a ktubah. For Rav, what does Rav do? Ad kamal kam Rav Yeshua hatam. He says that Rav Yeshua and Rav Elazar didn't disagree as much as it seems. It seems from that Mishnah that Rav Elazar and Yeshua had the diametrically opposite positions about the nature of the relationship between the husband and the ktana. It's not the case. He says, "Ad kan lo kam Rav Yeshua hatam ela midido l'didei." Where did Rabbi Yeshua say that she is considered fully his wife as far as things that he has to do for her? However, midido l'didei lo. But as far as things that go from him to her, She's not 100% his wife. In other words, her namaseh adayim go to him. Responsibility for her nadayim goes to him. Her metziah goes to him. If she dies, goes to him. If the Yerusha, if she dies, he has to take care of the burial. Those are all things that go from her to him. However, things that go from him to her, perhaps Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Elazar, this is Rav's position, and says, therefore, he would not have to give her a ketubah. Which means, of course, that Rav would claim, according to this exposition, that Rabbi Elazar and Rishu agree on this point, that a ketana would not get a ketubah. Okay, ketana again meaning a ketana who was married off by her mother or brothers, where father's not in the picture. Okay, the next statement in the Mishnah was that these people do not get bala'ot. Amar Rav Huna bar Chiya l'Rav Kahana. Amar lan mishmei de Shmuel. He said to Rav Kahana, you told us in Shmuel's name, on this Mishnah, lo shanu ela nichse malog, that this only applies to nichse malog. In other words, things that the clothing that the woman brought into the marriage that are part of her estate. And we say there, she doesn't have a claim on them, which itself is a little strange. But nichse tzon barzel, in other words, that property, we've seen this already several times, that property that is estimated as being brought in and that the husband takes responsibility for, and it appreciates or depreciates, that's on his nut, then idla, that she has. Now, that's what Rav Kahana was told. You told us the name of Shmuel. So, Havi Rav Papa, Papa was discussing this and said, hey, what was Shmuel referring to? Which part of the Mishnah? If it's the first one, the mema'anet. So, ida itanu, if the bla'ot are still around, meaning the clothing's still around, ida be'idi shakla, whether it's melog or nitzon barzel, she gets to keep it, as we'll see a more extreme example. Ida le'itanu, if they're not around, ida be'idi lo shakla, she doesn't get any of it. What's she going to do? Turn around and say, even though I walked out on you and dissolved the marriage, nonetheless, you still owe me for clothing that you gave me and that became threadbare? Ella Ilanit, must be Shmuel was referring to an Ilanit. Well, let's see. Ide tanu ide vidi shakla. If the clothing is around again, like in every case, she will certainly keep it. Ide le tanu, if the clothing's not around, then ibcha mi bailet should be the opposite. Why? Nichse malog debir shuta kaimi. The nichse malog were hers. Itla. So that's the stuff she should keep. Nichse tzon barzel alav shuta kaimi. Nichse tzon barzel are his. Meaning that if they appreciate, they appreciate to him. If they appreciate, they appreciate to him. He owes her money. So therefore, leitla. So Yishmuel's statement that she does not get blaot refers only to nichse malog, but son barzel she gets, can't fit ma'anet, and can't fit ilanit because it should be flipped. Ella, all we got left is ashnia. Must be referring to ashnia. The Rabbanan here did something which is sort of an inversion. And what happened is, since the man who married the Shnia also violated the law, they fined him about things that he should be getting from her, and they fined her about things that she should be getting from him. So therefore, the Nichse Tzon Barzel that is in his property, she gets to keep. But the Nichse Malog that is in her property, she loses. Right, so that everybody should sort of suffer in their own peace and realize they did a bad thing. Right, so now, Amar Shim Barashim, Shmuel Rav Kahana, so now that Rav Kahana explained what Shmuel meant, as a result of that, we come to the following conclusion. Aida Leglima, if she brings in a cloak, as Nichse Molog, Karnahave, that's considered principal, and not something that's usable. She's not allowed to use it unless it loses its original value by becoming threadbare. Rav Nachman said that clothing you bring is nichse malog is perot, and she can use it. The answer is Rav Nachman Pavliga. You're right, he disagrees with Rav Nachman. So Rav Kahana disagrees with Rav Nachman, and ostensibly they would both, as students of Shmuel, except what Shmuel said, but Shmuel didn't speak to the matter, so their interpretations, in the case of Rav Kahana's interpretation of Shmuel, ends up leading to the conclusion that the clothing of Nichse Malog really have a din of Karen of Malog, and really the results of them are Perot, and ultimately when it comes threadbare, do we regard it as Perot? Okay, we said Ein Lahen Ketubah. We said these women do not have Ketubah. The order here in the Gemara is different than the way presented in the Mishnah, because Ketubah was first. So Amar Shmuel, what did Shmuel say about this? Loshanu elamanim atayim. When do we say, we're referring to what, does she not get a ketubah? That's the base 100 or 200. Aval tosefet yesh lahen. Makes a lot of sense. A man married a girl, it turns out she's an islandite. A man married a girl, a shnia, illicitly, whatever it may be. And so the base ketubah, she doesn't have, that's something the rabbis instituted, they take it away. But he, whatever he added, his own contractual piece, that she certainly has. Tanya Namiach, a bright that supports this. Nashim Shamru Chacham Ein Lahem Ktubah, the women who about whom Chacham said Ein Lahem Ktubah, that's a particular phrase, and her other friends in our Mishnah, Ein Lahem Manematayim Aval Tosefet Yeshlem. They don't have the base 100, 200, but they do have Tosefet. But there's another phrase Chacham used. Nashim Shamru Chacham Yotzot Shalob Ktubah. However, women about whom Chazal said they are divorced without a Ktubah, not they have no Ktubah, but rather, because of their behavior, the husband should divorce them, and they have no ktubah. And the classic case is k'mon averet al dat v'chaverotel, the ones who behave promiscuously and licentiously and inappropriately in ways that really bring problems to the marriage. Classically, the Mishnah 9 bet. Ein lahem tosefet. They lose the base, and they lose the tosefet v'choshken manem atayim. Now, v'yotzeid mishum shem ra. Let's say a woman leaves because she committed adultery. We obviously don't have enough testimony to do anything more than that, but he divorces her, and obviously she loses the ktuvah. Nonetheless, notel et mashal faneha v'yotza. She does take the clothes that she has and leaves. Her nichse malog stay with her. Not just the clothes, but her estate goes with her. So that's why I said earlier in the discussion about blaot, that certainly if in this case where she's zinta, nonetheless, she keeps the blaot kayamin, the blaot, the remains of the clothing that are still around, that's still in existence, that still can be used, then certainly in the earlier case of a shnia, etc., they're going to keep such a thing. Messiah leh Ravuna. Dam Ravuna, the supports of Ravuna, said, Zinta lo hifsida blaoteha kayamin. Even if she had znut, she does not lose the clothing that she has that is still around. She doesn't have recourse to ask for payment for clothing that has gone threadbare and unwearable, and she needs new clothing that she doesn't have. Tani Tana come into Rav Nachman. Zinta Ifsida Blaotea Kaimin. So Itana taught in front of Rav Nachman the opposite lesson, that if she has znut, she loses her blaot. Amarle, so what did Rav Nachman say back? Imhi Zinta Kele Amizanoi. Kind of an acute way of saying, she had znut. Who said that her clothing had znut? And why should her clothing suffer, as it were? But what he really meant to say is, Tani Lo Ifsida Blaotea Kaimin. What you should teach is not she lost, but rather she did not lose Blaot Kayamin, Rav Chana, Rav Yochanan, Zudirai, Rav Menachem Stimta. He said that the statement that Tana taught in front of Rav Nachman was a quote from a particular Rabbi Menachem. But in other words, there are such opinions that are around, but the halacha is, like Chachamim, that even if she had znut, she does not lose the Blaot Kayamin, those parts of Nichse Malog that are still around. Okay, the final clause, Imitchila Niseit. So the question is, if the statement is that if the man married the almana, the islandite, knowing she was an islandite, then she gets everything. Now, I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna said the following. Islandite isha ve'ina isha. An islandite is a woman, not a woman. What does that mean? We'll see in a second. Almana isha gemura, but an almana is a full woman. What does any of this mean? Islandite isha ve'ina isha, meaning kikir ba ish lak tuba. If he knew she was an islandite before he married her, then she gets a full tuba. Loi kirba ein laktubah, but if he didn't know she was an islandite, then she doesn't get a laktubah. So she's sort of half a woman, meaning it depends on whether she came clean and the man knew she was an islandite and married her. Then there's no fraud, there's no mistake, she gets a laktubah. However, almana isha gemura. Rav Huna said, but an almana is a full woman, meaning beini kirba, bein loi kirba, yesh laktubah. Whether or not he knew that she was an almana, in other words, he thought she was a betula, he married her, so certainly she's not going to get the matayim, but she does have the rest of the ktubah. That's Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda omer, achat zu isha ve'ina isha. Rav Yehuda disagrees, says an almana is just like an islandite. They're both half woman, meaning he cared by yish laktubah, lo he cared by in laktubah. If he knew she was whatever she is before the marriage and married her, he accepted it, whatever the ktubah says, she gets. If he did not know that, they thought she was a betula, or in the case of islandite, they thought she was fertile and capable, then she does not get a ktubah when it turns out she's an islandite. Now, a challenge to Rav Huna, Meitave, Kein Sabachezkat Shib Kein, Vim Sachi Kein, if a guy marries a girl with the assumption she's an almana, and it turns out she's an almana, yesh la ktubah, so she has a ktubah. What's the implication? Hastama, the implication is if he married her without stating either way, Ein la ktubah, which means that he didn't know she was an almana, and turns out she is, she loses her ktubah, which seems to support Rav Yehuda, just like an islandite. So lo tema hastama ein la ktubah, so Rav Huna would answer, don't think that it means, if he knew she was an almana, then she gets the ktubah, meaning if he didn't know either way, then she doesn't get it. Rather read, if he married her with the assumption she was not an almana, and she turned out to be an almana, then she loses her ketubah. Avastam amai, what would you do about a stam case where he didn't say either way? Itla, then she has a ketubah. Well, that's, of course, weak. Because adatani mechezkat shikain said shikain, so as long as you're going to say, if a man married her, mechezkat that she was an almana, and turned out to be an almana, she gets a ketubah. Lishmin and stamam choshkenha. So why doesn't it say a more illustrative case, which is he married her without saying anything, and turns out she's an almanah, she gets the money. So certainly, if he knew she was an almanah, she'd get the money. V'yotani kinsa biyadua v'nimsa b'nseit biyadua yishlak tuba. It says explicitly, if he married her knowing she's an almanah, she turns out she's an almanah, she gets a tuba. Kinsa stam ein lak tuba. If he married her without explicating either way, then she loses her ketubah if she turns out she's an almana. So tiyuv to Rav Huna. Rav Huna has absolutely been refuted. Rav Huna's statement that an almana is unlike an ayonit, and if you married a woman thinking she was never married before, and it turns out she was, she still has a ketubah, that's been refuted. So now why did Rav Huna even think this? Rav Huna matnitan aitite. Our Mishnah confused him. Why? Who savar mida kamafli ba'ayonit v'lo kamafli ba'almana? Since our Mishnah went out of its way to say, in the case of an ayonit, if he knew in advance that she was an ayonit, then she gets a ketubah, and if not, and it didn't say such a thing about an almanah, b'chol da almanah, filu b'stam en amitlah. The implication is that in the case of an almanah, even if you didn't know she was an almanah, and it turned out she was, she does get the ketubah, because otherwise make the same distinction. Velohi, but that's where his mistake was. Yitani, almanah, plugta da ayonit kai. When they taught the case of the almanah, they were relying on this distinction made about the ayonit. Knowing that just as in the case of an ayonit, we explicitly said that if he knew she was an ayonit and he married her that way, then she gets the ketubah, and if not, same thing about an almanah. So in other words, an almanah was ignored, not because she's different, but because we're relying on the ruling of ayonit, and following from there. Adran Allah Almanah Nizonet. Baruch Hashem, we've completed our study of the 11th parak, and we will begin the very, very brief 12th parak of Masechet Ketubot in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.